doing it. Church, and we're excited that you're here. Anybody excited to be here? All right.
Hey, you're more awake than I am.
All right, you guys ready to stand up and worship the Lord? Raise your voices. So, you know, in heaven, you know, you guys sing forever, never and ever. It's nothing but worship up there. So if you guys can't do it down here, sorry for you. But you'll be standing up every time the angels go by and hallelujah. Ready.
Foolishness, I know. But when the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing now.
I can sing of your love.
Your love.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Good to see everybody this morning. It's especially good to see everybody this morning because I've had one heck of a week. And I want to thank everybody here in Haven for praying for me through a nasty kidney stone episode. But I'm here today, and I'm here to tell you that prayer works, because I think it's a responsibility of all of us to share our testimonies. And I was stuck in Washington, D.C. with no plans of how to get home without being in serious pain. So I rang up some of my friends and my parents who are watching, and they started praying, and the pain went away until I got home. And as I was laying in on my couch, all of a sudden it hit. So I just thank the Lord and thank everyone for praying for me to get me home. I appreciate it very, very much, and God is good. So anyway, a couple announcements for everyone this morning. You've got your sheets in here, so please take a look at all the things that are in there. But a couple things to highlight. First of all, next week, we will be having our membership class after church. If you're interested in becoming a member, or if just knowing more about Haven Community Church and what membership means, please come and join us after church on Sunday, the 26th. We'd love to see you. If you have any questions, see me after church. Today is the last day. If you have want to pick up your tax letters, they're out here in the lounge area on the table. Please pick them up for your family after church. You can see a couple other things coming. Paris Foundation today. So Bonnie and Katie over there can give you more information about that if you're involved in that. The other thing that Katie and Bonnie are doing, which I think is really cool, you'll see this next thing on the list here, plastic mat making workshop after church next Sunday. As a result of them being involved in Paris Foundation, they've learned how to make mats out of plastic bags. And if you are interested in that, they're going to be having a workshop after church next Sunday. Bonnie's got some show and tell here for us, so you can see what they look like. And you make them out of shopping bags, and it's really cool. There's apparently no skills needed, but if you do,
man, so slam Bonnie like that. What?
But if you do like to crochet, you can bring a crochet hook. There's information here. Please see Bonnie after service if you want to participate in that. Another quick note, after church today, we were planning to have an outreach meeting. I still want to have that if people are here, but I'm not going to have it very long. So please join me for that if you can. You can look through the rest. There's an emergency rotating shelter, but I have one other announcement that Jack wanted me to share. On Super Bowl Sunday for men, at 8 o'clock, they're going to have a men's breakfast here in the church at 8 o'clock on Super Bowl Sunday. And I think you've got some more information to share here. I think that's all I've got, but we're going to show a video about that. And if you have any other questions, please see me after church. And if you're a visitor here today, we believe you're here not by accident. So if you got a visitor card when you came in, please bring it to the back. And we've got a small gift for you for joining us today. Or if you don't want to bring it to the back and you just like to, we'd still like to know you were here, please drop your card in the offering plate as it goes. Thank you very much. Enjoy service. Here comes the video.
All right, so we'll have sign up and some more information about that in the next next week or so, but it'll be really cool to come to. We just want you to come and hang out and eat and watch it. It'll be good. They give the BART Star Award, which is for athletes in action, and it'll be a good time to get together. All right? Sound like a plan? What I want to do is, before we start, we're going to do two things. Number one, I see some unfamiliar faces, and I know some of you do. I also see some familiar faces, and it's always good if you just reconnect. So I'm going to get you to stand right where you are, just see somebody you know or don't know, and just welcome them in the love of Christ and say, hey. All right, if everybody can return back. And we're going to open today with prayer some more. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for bringing us through another week, another time where we can we dealt with all the things that life has, ups and downs and ins and outs. But most of all, God, we're just thrilled to take this time to just stop life and to worship you, to reconnect. God, I know, and I'm not crazy enough to believe that everything we do here in this next in this time together is going to make everything, all the problems of the world go away. It's not going to just completely, utterly just change everything in the situations that are out there and give us everything that we need of you. But God, I do know one thing. I do know that this is something that could change our lives by connecting to you in a way we haven't, through worship and singing, or through worship and sermon, or even in the midst of our Sunday school ministry. Whatever it may be, God, we know that you're here and that you want to connect to us. And you brought us together in this point now to just reach out and connect to you. And God, that's what we want. We want to know who you are. Just be more real to us during this time and just empower us to get through day in and day out so that we can become the people of Christ for this world that so needs it. For that, we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Everybody ready? This is a fun one.
All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. Sometimes it feels like I'm watching from the outside. Sometimes it feels like I'm breathing, but am I alive? I won't be searching for answers that aren't here to find. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I world and give to Jesus. This is not where I belong. world and give to Jesus. This is not where I belong. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give to Jesus. This is not where I belong. Where I
Morning.
Amen. We praise you, God, and we ask that you just fill this place with your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. At this time, we come to our time of our prayer request. Stephen had to work today, so I'm filling in. But we have one for Jeannie Logan. Her nephew-in-law is having surgery Tuesday. He has a tumor growing in his spinal cord at the base of his skull, and they have cut nerves to get to it. We're praying for no complications and no side effects from the surgery. So be praying for him. Also want you to be praying for Phil Johnson. Phil had some issues with an aneurysm and also a fall, I believe, and has had some bleeding in the brain and some other kinds of things. He's in stable condition now, but we just want to continue to lift Phil in your prayers. Phil was one of those guys who he was one of the early leaders in the first church I was ever at, and so he's a good guy. Anybody know Walnut Springs Strawberry Farm? He is the owner of that, so be praying for Phil as much as you can. All right. Any other prayer requests that we need to touch on? I know we challenge you to go ahead and fill those out in the back. Yeah, Jess. Okay. So Sheila. Okay. So be praying for Jessica's friend Sheila. Yes, Joe. Okay. And what's her name?
Kathy Minnick.
Kathy, yeah.
I also have a friend, a childhood friend, that had a massive stroke, and family's going to have to make a decision here soon.
Okay.
So I just pray that God makes a decision.
Okay. So a friend who had a stroke? Yeah, Kelly.
Cindy's sister.
Yes.
Valerie has stage 4 cancer. It's in her pancreas, her liver. It's causing blood clots. They start chemo, I think, Tuesday this week.
And the kid's father passed away earlier this year in April. So we want to lift that family up. Anyone else? All right. Now, one of the things we always ask for prayers, but are there any joys that we can share? I know Jill shared a joy through healing. Anybody else? Any joys? Yes.
Jake and I are engaged.
All right. Been engaged. So they're going to be married. Anybody want to? Yeah, go ahead. All right, so many of you know the tragedy that seemed to have been with the family, with Jenny's daughter passing and other kinds of things. But Patty said through that, God's word remains true, that many are touched through those what we see as tragedies and what we experience as tragedies. Many are touched their lives. All right? Yes?
Just Nicole made it back safely.
Yes, Nicole made it back to the land down under. So we're going to pray for her. And also, do not forget to keep praying for the Barton family, as that's a tough thing. You don't just wait for your kid to come home on the weekend. She'll be gone for a year. So we want to go ahead and pray for them, definitely. All right, let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you for bringing us here today and for your Holy Spirit being alive in this place. For all who came in here this day, I pray that they find this a place that they connect, a haven where they can connect to you, Lord. For those on the prayer list, we just lift up. For all those who are dealing with surgeries or having to make decisions, like Sheila, and for others like Joe's coworker, who has a husband who's in the final stages God, we know that these are major issues, and this fits in kind of like with a series that we're talking about when what we believe doesn't seem to correspond. But God, we know that through everything, your purpose, and we'll talk about that next week, that it's accomplished, that you work through all things and bring glory to your name. And so, God, we pray for those going through tragedy and suffering, for Phil and all the other names that were mentioned here. We thank you for the joys of engagement and also of healings. But most of all, God, we thank you that your son Jesus loves us. He loves us so much that he came to suffer and die. But most importantly, he rose again that we may have life eternally. And so, God, as we minister this time, we dedicate the rest of this service not to us, not to our own needs, not to be thinking about what we need to do after this time, but just to you. God, just let us be still. And as we enter this next act of worship, our giving and displaying to you our love for you in our gifts, we pray that your hand be upon the giver and upon the gift and the tithe, that you may multiply them as you did to the 5,000 men plus women and children. To meet their needs, that you may do that, to do the ministry needs that you've called us to do at Haven and touch many, many lives. For that, we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him into a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him.
Hi. I got more of that time. You ever just kind of done that to somebody who you don't know and just like, "Hey!" And they're trying to figure out who you are and you don't have any clue? It's kind of fun to do. So that's your homework today, just mess with people. Okay. No. All right. If you're joining with us today, we're having a series on what many people have thought for years about me. I have no clue. We started last week, and this whole series is going to be based in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, and it's a really awesome verse. It's the gospel very quickly in a nutshell, but more importantly, it's given in a very low point, what we would see, a low point of the Apostle Paul's existence. You know, it's easy to share the gospel when you're raising people from the dead, and you're having miraculous things happen. It's a whole different thing when you're in chains, and you're treated like an animal, and you're facing your death, and you can still do it. And so that's one of the things he shares with us here, and I think it's really, really cool. So I want to take a look at this really quickly so we can all get on the same page. It's right there printed in on your bulletin. If you are here today, that I can see you, and so you can go ahead. There's a QR code. If you don't know what that is, forget about what I'm talking about. That would lead you to Haven's Facebook page. I'd love for you to comment. So I tell people, pull out your smartphones. Don't play Candy Crush, but go ahead and just, if something hits you in the midst of the sermon, jot it down. Because there's other people. There's some people at home who are watching. There's some people other places that are watching. We've actually had people from Washington State that watch our service. I don't know why, but they're watching, and we're just glad. So I want them to comment, too. That's what it's there for, and it gives us an avenue. We live in a really cool world at times. Even though there's a mess, we have some cool things that we can do. So what I want to do is, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, just to lay the groundwork again and get back there. In chapter 9, it says, "He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and teacher." And I love this verse particularly. Verse 12 says, "That is why I am suffering as I am, and this is no cause for shame." Or in other words, I'm not ashamed. You see, Timothy, who he's writing to, has some concern for his mentor. He's concerned about him. And he says, "I'm not ashamed. I'm glad." He said, "Because I know whom I have believed." Remember last week, he wasn't talking about, "I know what I believe. I know whom I believed." It's a person. It's Jesus. And I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day. So that is 2 Timothy, and that's where we're going to use as a jumping point. Now, I was going to do this with a raise of hands. We'll let people at home, but I'm not going to because there may be somebody who hasn't, and we don't want anybody to feel differently. But if you're at home, you can raise your hands because nobody else is going to see you. So what I want to say is this. What I was going to do is ask how many people and would raise their hand and say, God has saved you. Now, don't do it. You don't have to. Unless you're really compelled and you want to do backflips down the aisle, you can go ahead and do it. But how many of you can say, I've been saved by Jesus. I've been saved. Okay? So some people can raise their hand. Some people feel compelled to do that. Some people don't. That's okay. Well, we'll go through that. And that's a terminology that we throw around. You know, it's interesting. Have you been saved? Have you been saved? And we churchy people understand that. You know, some of us may wonder what, you know, saved from a lion, a shark, what have I, you know, that's not a term that, unless you get really south in our country and then everybody knows what that means. So we can ask that question, and it's an important question to ask. But one of the things that we look at is if I followed that with a question, and so if I said, I dare say if I said, how many of you have been saved, we'd have a lot of people raise their hands. But if I followed that with a question, how many of you live a holy life? I would dare say some of us would be like, we'd say, how many have been saved? Woo! How many live a holy life? You know, am I right? And we have those things so separated. Saved? Holy life? Oh, there was that one time. Oh, Friday night. Okay. You know, and we go through these times in our life, and we separate those things. And so I would say that our hands being raised would get a little weird, or the numbers may change if we had to qualify what holy life is. But let's look again what it says in 2 Timothy, the verse that we just read, chapter 9. It says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. I find it very interesting. Remember I said verses 8 through 13, I said this last week, don't even have a punctuation mark in the original nature. They don't stop at all. He's getting all that out in one voice. If you think I talk quick, how'd you like to read and listen to Paul? He is saying together, he has saved us, and here it is again. He has saved us and called us to live a holy life. He saved me and called me to live holy. It's one thing. So if you ask the Apostle Paul, are you saved? Yes. Are you living a holy life? Yes, because that's what Christ called me to, both. Boy, does that kind of mess with me. Does that mess with anybody else? It messes with me a lot. Because as I look at this, saved and calling to a holy life are so intertwined that we can't separate them. But if, why do I segment them, and why do we all tend to segment them more so today? If what we believe doesn't affect what we are, do we really believe it in the first place? Think about that. So when we act out and what we do often test the way, do we really believe what we believe? For instance, the term we're going to talk about today is called, ready for your church term? Everybody ready? Say, I'm ready. Here we go. You asked for it. Sanctification. Everybody say that back to me.
Sanctification.
I want you to use that in a sentence today, like at the store when you go out of here. And just to say, so you're going to go up to people who you don't have a clue and say hi. And hey, good to see you. And then you're going to say, then use sanctification. And you'll give them a story for the rest of their lives. But sanctification, what does that mean? It is a, sanctus is a Latin term for holy. And it is the process of becoming holy. It is a process. What we learn, we understand salvation. For most of us, we understand salvation as a point in time where we recognize we're a mess. Jesus, I need a Savior. You're it. You're the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You came, lived, suffered, died, rose again, and through you I can be reconnected to the Father because of this thing I have in my life called sin, and therefore I need you. And that's salvation. Or here's your other churchy term today. You're getting two of them for the price of one. Justification. That's when we are justified. And here's how you learn this. I learned this from a little kid. You're made just as if I'd never sinned. Isn't that cool? We have all these little, like, churchy things. Just as if I'd never sinned. So we're made just as if I'd never sinned at a point in time, and from that point in time, then we work on this process called sanctification, or becoming, as the scripture says, more like Christ. And I think one of the problems is that we, in our theology, have put justification here and sanctification here, and we don't link them together, as Paul says, oh, I've been justified, so I must be sanctified. And for him, there was no separating that. For us, we have, hey, be patient with me. God's still working with me. I may not be working on his team all the time, but he's working on me, right? And so let's look at this a little bit more today. For instance, I have had some really interesting times in my life where I have had people who were active in the church, who said they were saved, but the things they said and did not relate to what they believed. There was one time I was a young pastor, there was this older lady, and she was, let's say, a lady who liked to express her thoughts. Anybody ever ran into anybody like that? Anybody one of those people? And she was an interesting lady, because this church probably had about 10 people in it at the time, and she was very outspoken and was involved in the leadership, because when you got 10 people, slim pickings, am I right? You take a warm body that has a pulse and you throw it in and go, let's go for it, okay? But she loved me, grew to love me. I'm kind of like mold. You eventually become cheese somewhere, I guess. But this lady would always call us every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, just for the heck of it. Don't do that to me, please. So, but she'd do this. And I remember, and I loved Marge. She's gone on to be with the Lord. But she was an interesting lady. There was a lady trying to get a Sunday school started with her kid and any other warm body that was younger than 85, all right? And she was trying, and she decided to have a day of bingo, all right? Now, for those of you from a Catholic faith, that's no problem. For Protestants, they get real nervous. And so she would give them, like, little gifts, like the stuff you guys who are old as me remember Kramer's? Down north, yeah, I see the hands now, I know how. Or anyone of those little stores where you get, like, junky stuff, little junky stuff for a couple pennies and nickels and probably $45 now. But that's the kind of stuff it was. For those of you who are younger, Dollar Tree stuff, everybody's like, oh, yeah, yeah. When Jacob was little, I'm gonna get him. When he was little, we always laugh about this Dollar Tree. He said when he grew up, he wanted to work at the Dollar Tree so he could get a discount. See, that Jewish blood just rolls right through, you know? Right, Jacob? That's our side. Yeah, you're my boy. Yeah. He's a man after his dad's own heart, I tell you. Save a buck, even if it's a dollar, okay? So anyway, as we're in part of this process, they were having this for, you get the picture of what's going on here? Bingo for little kids, any little kids you can find that is for, like, junk toys. And this one lady, Marge, hit me Sunday morning. I am furious. I said, oh, what I do now? She said, gambling in the church. I was like, what are you talking about? Here I am in my 20s, and I'm like, I don't have a clue. And she said, that's Sunday school. And she named the person. I said, what? I'm like thinking, were they like in there shooting craps? And, you know, I was like, we'll take 10% of that. That's fine, you know. And so we're in, and I had no clue what was going on. And she goes, bingo was his name. I still don't have a clue what she's talking about. And she goes, they're playing bingo in there for prizes. Again, the prizes are like that little guy you shoot up in the air with the, and that breaks, you know, the parachute guy that's plastic and, you know, and that kind of stuff that has a welded part to the back of his head. And I'm like, really? Now, the reason why I was really going through this is because I was sitting there and I'm thinking about this lady, because this lady worked someplace for 60 years. She worked at Delaware Park for 60 years. And I said, Marge, I have no clue what you're having a problem with. And she says, they're gambling. And I said, don't you work for Delaware Park? Yeah, but that's not here in the church. And I said, well, John Wesley said the world is our parish. And she got mad at me and got on the little lift and went upstairs. And I dealt with it for a couple weeks. And then by the time I left, she said, ah, I love you to death. I want you to be the pastor at my funeral. And I did assist in her funeral. But what I was looking at that is what Paul's talking about here. You know, I'm not so concerned about that. I know there's evils, again, there's evils in everything else I do. There's evils in eating, there's evils in everything. Okay, we got that. Paul says, everything is permissible, but not everything's beneficial, right? So we can get to that moderation. That's a whole other sermon I'm not going to today. Stay tuned, that'll come later. But she was so concerned because bingo crappy little toys were being given in the church because gambling was going on in the church and she made her living off of a gambling institution. That didn't match up. What she believed or professed to believe was not matching with what she was saying. You with me here? And it left me with an early quandary of what in the world have I gotten myself into? But more importantly, it spoke to me, and I've heard other people do that too. I've heard people who are rock and rollers that you go ahead and they say, I don't like that rock and roll music in the church. It should be an organ. I think some people think Simon Peter carried around a pipe organ on his back so that Jesus could play. And it's not that way. But then we have this point where here's our church life, and here's what we do on Sunday, and the rest of the week, here it is. And what we believe here doesn't match up to what's here. And what Paul is saying, we need to bring those two things together. Because I have been justified and I should be sanctified and live a holy life. Those things should come together. And we as Christians like to get caught up on the little bad things, the things that make us, that we rank as greater sins or greater problems, rather than recognizing it's about a holy life and glorifying Christ and putting those two worlds together. And that's what Paul says here. And so every day of Marge's life for 60 plus years, she went to something and did something and still professed God. But when I don't even see similar came into the church, she had a problem with it. And those two things didn't match up. Church should be a life. Our faith should be a life. And, you know, a lot of times I think we think, okay, church is so different and weird that if I suffer through it on Sunday, maybe I'll get some bonus points with God. And has anybody been to a church where you're like, this is really, really weird? You may be here today. but sometimes you just look and go, my gosh, that has nothing to do with the rest of my life. It doesn't connect. I can't even put it into sleeping. You know, it doesn't fit with anything. And I think we've gotten to a point in the universal church where church does these things and we do it because we're the church, but it doesn't equal life. In the early days of the church shaped life for people. I'm really into ancestry.com. I've done a lot of stuff. Matter of fact, this morning I was so excited I didn't even want to come to church because I got my DNA results. Okay? And I was like, oh my gosh, I got them. My wife's like, you're excited about this? I said, a little bit. Yeah, you know, I'm really excited about this stuff, and I like it. And I was looking at some old digital newspapers, and they have online digital Cecil Whigs. And do you know, like, the front page of most of the early, like, 1800s and stuff, Cecil Whigs, have visiting pastor coming to speak about God and speak about Jesus? You know, the church was prevalent in society. You know, they had issues. Don't get me wrong. There's a book I found about early Methodists. That early Methodists, they were shouting Methodists. They were the borderline Pentecostals, which is all, yes, that's cool too, if that's what you want to do. And people were like, yeah. And it got so bad that the Methodists in this area, when somebody saw somebody coming out of a church being filled with the Spirit, that the person was so afraid his friends would see him in the Methodist that he said he was drunk. They would rather be drunk than be a Methodist in this county. Some of you may still feel that way, or Baptist or whatever. But because they were moving and they were doing stuff, so they were affecting the culture around them that was reaching the papers. Now, where's church? All slapped in a section of the paper, hidden away in boxes. Because we don't want to talk about the effect of Jesus. Maybe we wouldn't have some of the issues that we see today if the church was more prevalent in society. Amen. And if our faith and what we believe actually influenced our lives and we lived holy lives in this area. rather than segmenting our church here and our lives here. All right? So what is it? What is it? What are these things? I'm just going to spend some time today doing some things that keep us from living a holy life and sharing it. Sound good? All right. It's kind of like one of those catch-22 situations, because after I say this, then we got to work on it. You know what I mean? Like when you know, you got to deal with something with it, or you just ignore it and don't do something with it. But anyway, I already did all the study and preached to myself, so I'm going to preach to you today. All right? So let's talk. How many of you do social networking? Okay, good. People are like, yes! Okay. How many of you, well, I can't ask this question, but who is next to somebody who has never been on any kind of social networking? Okay? Okay. Who wouldn't mind if I put you on? Yeah. I need somebody. I want to go ahead and put somebody on my Facebook page. I want to prove something today. Will you hit me if I do? Oh, is that like try it and you will? Okay, all right. I didn't know. All right, so here we go.
Wait, you going to pay my bail first?
What bail? Oh, your bail? After you hit me? That's all right. That's all right. It's good. All right, yeah, we can do that. All right, here we go. We're going to take a picture. What's your name again? Walt. Okay, here we go. Smile pretty. All right, just Walt. Oh, we started. Oh, Paul, sorry. I'm sorry. I can't hear. Let me see. Let me get a picture of you and I'll post it. Everybody good?
Yeah.
You're like, what in the world did I get myself into?
I put horns over his head?
No. Here we go. There you go, Paul. There we go. All right. We got a picture of Paul now. Now I got to post it. I have a purpose for this, okay? You guys are still trying to figure it out, aren't you? All right. Let's see. What? No, I got it. Here. Oh, wrong one. You think I never did this before?
I don't think you did.
All right, here we go. Now, this is Paul. Okay. And I want you to like this picture as it is my sermon illustration. Oops.
Are they going to send me money and stuff?
You never know. All right, so there we go. Can you click over and see if it's on my Facebook page? There we go. It's there on here. You might have to refresh it a little bit, but it should be up there in a little bit. All the way over. So it'll come up there. Jessica already liked it. Okay. You guys can like it too. You at home can do that. And Paul's picture will be up there. When it gets on there, just click it and open, and we're going to see how many likes he gets by the end of the service. Okay. And some of you guys are in there, too, because I didn't get really close. All right? So let's kick back, and we'll check on that in a bit, okay? We'll check on that in a bit. So let's go back to the sermon, and we'll check on Paul in a bit, okay? So first thing is, we live for likes, don't we? We live for likes. We like to be liked. How many like to be liked? The other day, I was somewhere, and there was and a lot of times we live for the wrong likes too. That's our first thing. And I was somewhere, and there was a pastor who I knew of, who for some reason doesn't like me. Now, can you imagine that? Someone not liking me. And I asked this pastor about somebody who had some needs, and this pastor says, "They're all right." And I was like, good to see you too. And that was it. And I knew this person was not all right. So it was more about this person not liking me. And sometimes you stop and you go, jerk. And then when I walked down the hall, I had all kinds of things I was going to go back in and go say. Fortunately, God removed both of us, so that might have made the front page of the week. Pastor is fighting and so on. But in doing that, I just was like, what's wrong with, he started to say, what's wrong with me that he doesn't like me? You know? I'm likable, I think, some of the time. And so I just started looking some more at this, and I realized that I live so often for the wrong likes in my life. And let's look at Matthew chapter 4. That's what I want to share here about how Jesus deals with this in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, which was read to us. This is about the temptation of Jesus. And so as we look at this, the more likes for me, I get consumed by liking. How many of you have ever put something on Facebook, or for you younger people, because I know now Facebook's for old people, it's Instagram, right? Okay. Sorry, I just didn't do it. Or Twitter. Isn't that Twitter? Instagram, is that the cool one now? So in order to be cool, I got to get an Instagram? I think I... What?
Snapchat.
Oh, Snapchat. See, once you reach a certain age that joins something, then it's not cool anymore. You guys are part of that group now. Welcome to it. But you go back and you want to see how many comments or how many likes and that kind of stuff, don't you? How many of you ever check back and forth? Like, I'll put something up there, and I'll say to Melissa, I'll say, look, I got 90 likes in, like, 5 minutes. I'm cool. Why do we do that? But let's look at what happens in Matthew. Jesus is led into the wilderness. I like Mark's gospel as well, because Mark's gospel says Jesus was thrown out into the wilderness. It's just ripped out and torn out there. And here's what it says. It says here in verse 3, and which I have a 2 through 4, it says, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so what does this mean here? I don't know whether Jesus was, I believe he was fasting, he was connecting, but the bottom line is, why do they put this section here? He's hungry. Now, when you have a need or a desire, you will do things that please other people, even if you know it's not the right thing to do. If you want to be liked, you will do things that you shouldn't do. When I go back to my teen years and I think, most of the stuff I did that was not good for me was usually because I was associated with some people who wanted me to, I wanted to be part of and liked by, so I did something that I shouldn't have done. Anybody in that boat with me? Of course, you guys are all holy. I know. I forgot. And so here's Jesus that's hungry, and I believe that they write that verse because he could have done something. He's the Son of God. He could have done exactly what Satan said. He could have said, I'm starved. 40 days, I've done a really good fast. I need something to eat. Bam, stones, bread. And like, dang, that was right. But instead, he doesn't. And what I believe is so many of us in life want to be liked and are so unhappy in areas that we go ahead and do something that's not the right thing. For instance, I know people that are so lonely in life, they will attach themselves to anything that has a pulse. And they will get into a relationship that they know is totally wrong for them from the beginning, and they'll do so just because they're lonely. And they want something or someone in life. And they'll make these choices that are just wrong for them. And what happens when I make choices on being with the wrong likes, I end up missing out on what God desires for my life. And so many times I've heard people say, you know, I've been praying for God to bring this man or this woman into my life or this person, and I haven't seen them. So I'm, you know, it's the whole, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. And you know how many people day in and day out exist through life that way? And one of the things is we miss out on who God has picked for us because we're living a life that's leading us to all these deadbeats that God doesn't want with us that we know is wrong for us, and we end up doing it anyway because we're lonely and we need to fill that void. And so that's where we end up in many times. So what, in many times, we're hypocrites. We say, I know God's got somebody picked out for me, but I'm going to date this one. And we end up in that situation. You know, one of the things we need to embrace is it's not like for you old people, Flip Wilson, okay, I'll just mention that name, everybody else can Google him, who used to say, the devil made me do it. It's not always the devil. Sometimes, just sometimes, and maybe many times, our life is in a way that, you okay, Chris?
The devil made me buy this dress.
Okay, the devil made me buy this dress. And if you're, I'm not buying a dress, but that would be the devil. But what we see is several times in our lives, we end up in situations because of the poor choices we make by not following God, not because the devil threw us into it. And that's how we get into a specific situation. It's not always the devil making me do it, but sometimes, and many times, it's just out of my own selfishness. Look at this verse here. James reminds us of this in the brother of Jesus when he tells us this in James chapter 1. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by what? Their own evil desires and enticed. That what we want and what we need so much in life has such a draw on us that we put that over what God desires for us. And we end up making a bad like decision. And look at what happens. Then after the desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. If you've ended up in a situation where it is a misery, stop and look at the pattern and see how you got there. Many times I would believe that you had something to do with getting yourself there, okay? Satan just helps heap it on when you're already there, okay? So that's number one. Number two. Oh, wait, you know what? Wait a second. I'm not done yet. I got some more to say. I got to show you this. This is hilarious. It is impossible to be fully sold out to God and to do our own desires. We can't fulfill his purpose by doing our own personal desires. And what I find in times is what we say doesn't equal what we do because we make bad choices. Now, I want to show you this brief video clip, and it's become known as Bo the Bailer. Okay? Go ahead and show this really quickly.
Line foul. And a few breaking balls he's thrown.
By two games, the Reds are on a four-game winning streak. He's hurt.
Oh, my. You gotta be kidding me.
Is dead.
Man gets out of the way.
Real late it.
No, did not catch it, but he screamed it.
All right, did you guys see what he did? The foul ball was headed that way, and his girlfriend's here, and he bails this way. That's why he's known as Bo the Bailer. They've actually interviewed him. You can see this on YouTube. They actually interviewed him, and they had just talked about when they saw their seat, she said, I'm going to get hit by a fly ball. And he said, no, honey, if one comes, I'll catch it for you. All right, you see what happened? Bo the Bailer, he bailed out. He was out of there. He was getting out of there. Why? Because sometimes we say stuff and we do stuff. Just to let you know they're not together anymore. Because that's probably not a good choice. Honey, I swear, no matter what happens, I will be with you. If somebody comes and our lives are threatened, I'm going to stand in front of you. And then all of a sudden somebody comes, pew, out the way. You know, she was disgusted with him. And actually the person came down during the game, interviewed them, and said, that was pretty lame there. And he said, is this going to affect the relationship? She said, oh, yeah. It is. So you can tell she was not a happy camper. We do that at times in life. We say, God, I will never leave you, never forsake you, like the Simon Peter. Lord, all will fall away but me. And when the heat comes on, pew, we're bailing out. Or we're making a choice that is selfish and hypocritical based off of what can glorify God. Paul says, no. I've been called to be saved and to live a holy life. Those things are together. Okay? We still make it about me at many times. All right, number two, we like to get more likes from others. Can we check in real quick? Let's check in real quick over there, and we'll see if we got any likes. Do we have it up there yet? It's not up there yet. We got to find it out. Can we refresh? Keep going. If you go over to where the world is. Back. Where's it? 7. 45? Somebody say I got 45? Hey, you got 45 likes already. That's not bad in, what, 10, 15 minutes? That's good.
$45?
No, that'd be good, wouldn't it? No. 45 likes. So we'll figure that out. 50? 58. You're growing. 60. Okay, we'll come back. You guys keep updating me, okay? Here we go. All right, isn't this fun? You guys having fun? Okay, everybody having fun? We might do the wave in a second, okay? All right, so we like more likes from others. We've got almost 60 already in a couple minutes. So what in this case, like me, want me, need me. One of the things that I'm increasingly shocked by as a parent is clothing or lack thereof on young kids. I was with, several years ago, I was with a pastor friend of mine, and several of them, and we were at a conference, and we were eating, and we were down in Ocean City. And I kid you not, a girl about 11 or 12 came in, and you know how they have the shirts with the writing here and the writing here? It said porn star. Now, I got to tell you, number one, as teenage guys, I don't think they ever needed help in reading, where you got to put reading on certain areas to have them look more, you know. But in addition to that, it'll be a cold day in hell before my girls ever wear anything that says porn star. you know what I mean? And I was like, I don't get this. And, you know, I started thinking about that. A lot of times, but what we find out in counseling and other things is some people want to be noticed so much in life. They will do anything to be noticed and to be loved. If you want to disrupt God's work in your life, put out the image that you're perfect to others. That's one of the things. I've seen people who are perfect, and I've seen many crash down. Look at what Jesus says here in verse 5 of chapter 4 of Matthew. The devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw down yourself, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to test. You know, when I think about this, so much we put God to test by conforming to so many other things in our lives. You know, it doesn't say this, but in the temple, there was a lot of people around. And Jesus could have easily said, you know what, I'm tired of you guys trying to play this guessing game who I am. He could have said, hey, I'm going to show you who I am. Watch this. Woo! Off the temple. Angels catch him and said, now you guys going to believe? But he didn't, because he didn't have to prove anything to anybody. We exist so many times in trying to prove things to somebody. I heard somebody this week, it was a quote. It wasn't in sermon preparation, but somebody just said it or I heard it somewhere. Our lives are too short to be living for somebody else. We live our lives and make choices based off of other people, their wants, their desires, their hopes for our lives. Some people even make career choices based off of what their parents and family want them to make. And we exist in this rather than living life in the way that pleasing the one who we need to please, God, and living life in and for him. You know, how do we do this? Well, I'll give you it may not be dress, but it may be this. This is where I relate. I may be around some people, and somebody will say something about someone that I know stuff about. It's not done in counseling, but I just know stuff about them. And before I know it, I want to be liked and I want to be part of that conversation. And before I know it, I see the head shaking. You know what I'm getting to. I start adding into that conversation so that they'll like me, even if it's to the detriment of that person. And more importantly, to the detriment of the character that God wants in me. Anybody been there with me? Like you say, you might be somewhere and you might say, you know that Jack Cohen. You might have been with that pastor the other day. And you might say, you know that Jack Cohen. Oh, well, let me tell you about him. You say, you know what? Let me tell you about, we went to school together, and I know that way back in 2000, you know what I mean? And we all get caught in that. And before we know, and that doesn't edify God. How do I know that? Well, let's go ahead and look at this next scripture from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Again, this is from Paul. Better take it to heart. Number 29, I'm going to stomp all over myself right here. You ready? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Everybody say ouch. Ouch. There we go. but only what is helpful for building up who? Others, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Everybody say ouch?
Ouch.
Okay. So many times I don't work on building up others, but I work on tearing others down to build myself up. Paul says that's wrong. And Paul knew, okay? I got to tell you, there's this dad, you guys may have seen this. There's this dad who got tired of his daughter trying to please other people by the way she dressed. So they were getting ready to go out one night, and they have 7 kids. I think they live in Utah. Surprise. If you're watching from Utah, go Utes. And so they were getting ready to go out, and he got tired of talking to his daughter, so he decided to do something else. Look at this picture. Anybody ever see that? Isn't that great? His daughter was wearing these short shorts and stuff, so he said, all right, here we go. So he went and took a pair of old jeans, cut them off like that. We can get that off there. That's pretty bad. He said, you know, they went a couple different places, went and got ice cream. She wouldn't get out of the car when they went to get ice cream. They went to hibachi like that. You guys wouldn't be watching the volcano. You'd be watching that. He said he didn't get a way to go, Dad. I understand what you're saying. I love you, that kind of thing. He said, but he knew that she knew that he loved her by him willing to make a fool of himself for her, and to let her know, hey, you know, you don't have to do this for somebody else. You can be who you want. He said it got a little bit better. The dress got a little bit better, but. You know, how many of us have made ourselves fools for Christ, as the scripture says, and just been foolish to connect people and to show people that God loves us in a special way? They went to a restaurant. They went miniature golfing. They went and got milkshake. Can you imagine seeing that at miniature golf? He said, my daughter will always know that her dad, her father, loves her and cares for her. Love will make you crazy. And if you love Jesus and have a greater relationship with him, it'll have you do crazy things. We live so much to please people. I want to tell you something. I mean, we had somebody announce that they have an engagement. You know how many times in my life I've seen people go through weddings, and not the wedding, the getting married themselves, but the planning of the wedding and the stuff in the wedding was for somebody else. They put everything together for other people. Baptisms. People will do baptisms for other people. All these kind of things people do and surround for other people. I was at a wedding rehearsal one night where I was asking the girl, and every time I'd ask the girl something, she turned to her mother. Or if she didn't turn to her mother would interject. And I actually looked at the mom and said, excuse me, they're the ones getting married, which the mother wasn't happy with me. I add that to the list with the minister, but anyway. I knew that girl was panicking because if it didn't go off perfect for her mom, the world was going to fall apart. Rather than recognizing the commonality is these two people love each other and are joining together by God. Or someone who gets their child baptized or gets baptized is a profession of their faith in Christ, not checking off something in a baby book. You with me? And so we need to look to God, not please other people in this. You know, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, those are all ways we please other people rather than pleasing God. Maybe even how we discipline our kids, and I know you do it too. There are things that my parents did that kept me from being public enemy number one that I want to do, but in the middle of Walmart, I'd be arrested for. Yeah, you guys know that? I bear the scars of parenting, you know, my rear end. Because my dad, he wasn't abusive, but he made sure that I knew what was right and wrong. And help me get to that point today. Many people parent because they want their kids to like them. Guess what? You know what I found out? My kids will never fully like me 24/7. Because at times I'm not likable. But at other times, they want to do stuff that it doesn't make sense to them, but it does to me. Because I want to protect them and I want them to live a good and safe life. Am I perfect? Far from it. Don't talk to him after church, okay? All right, number 3. We live for likes from religion or God. Now, Just bear with me here. Anybody want to make it? Let's make a check on likes. How many likes has Paul got now? Anybody have them? Anybody? You guys fall asleep on the likes? Anybody? Got it? All right, you're getting. Yell out when you got it.
64.
64, okay? You're creeping up there. 64. Come on, people at home. More likes. Paul's dependent on it, aren't you, Paul? Yeah, okay, here we go. You got 64 more than I got today. Okay. So, here we go. Living for likes from religion or God. If I believe that, and many times in my life I'll say, you know, if I quit this or if I stop this, God will like me more. Or if I do this, God will like me more. And that's a lot of times religion sets us up that way. If I'm a better person, God will like me more. Look at what it says in verse 8 from Mark. Verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he says, all this I will give to you if you just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. This is a life-changing thing that I want to share to you. In this verse, religion tells us, all this I will give to you if you do this and this. If you say that, if you do that, then I will. God says, all this I have given you, now bow down and worship. Notice the difference? God has already given you that. He gave you a son. That's the greatest thing we can have. So because he has called, he has saved me, I should bow down and worship. My life should be an offering, a life of prayer. Right, Debbie? A life of prayer. We should have standing room only at prayer groups. A life of service. We should have rotating shelter and Parish Foundation, them turning people away because Christ saved me, so I'm going to worship him and called me to live a holy life. We should be saying, I would love one day to say, you know what, guys, please stop giving to the church. Please stop. The money, the bank's getting upset. We got too much. Because if Christ has saved me and called me to live a holy life, and part of that is how I use my finances and how I use my time and how I use my service in order to love him. Somebody told me a long time ago, if I look at my checkbook or my credit card stuff, I see who really is my God in life. That's a part of expression. And don't get nervous. Jesus spoke more about money than he spoke about anything. But one of the, everybody relax. I'm not done talking about money. But it's all part of our life, right? We have God here. We have here. Maybe one of the reasons why my finances aren't as good as they need to be is because I haven't taken a godly approach to my financing. Amen. Maybe because, I lied. I did say one more thing. Maybe my relationship's not the way it is because I haven't had a godly relationship and hadn't been based off what God wants me to do. Maybe my job is driving me crazy because I haven't allowed God to influence my career and my life there. Instead, I've made choices to say, if I work 50 hours a week, my job will love me. Rather than saying, God has given me all this and there I'm going to worship him and he's going to bless the rest of my life and my career. You see the difference? Wouldn't it be freeing to live that way? To live, to know that you are loved by God, not just thumbed up like by him, by something you do? The Apostle Paul says back in 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at this, in verse 9, he says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because what? Not because anything we have done. If you are trying to achieve a like from God, give it up. It's not going to happen. You will have a lot of names on there. But guess what, Paul? You're never going to get one from God saying, ooh, you're on Jack's Facebook page. Now I like you. Because he already loves you. He already gave his life for you. And so quit living to get likes from God and start living and worshiping him because he saved you and called you to a holy life. You can't do anything. And guess what? Here's the thing. Someone once told me, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and then do what you please. Because if you truly love God, with all that, you're going to do what pleases him. and you're going to live that holy life. Oh, does this step on toes? Yeah, it steps on my toes all the time. It's not about virtue and strength. It's about being saved and sanctified. Salvation and holy living have nothing to do with what I have done. Legalism is not what Jesus came for. In Matthew 4, verse 10, it says, Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." And then Satan left. Why was Jesus strong enough to do this? Because here's what I think. If we go to the previous chapter, in Matthew chapter 3, before Jesus ended up in the wilderness, he had his baptism. He didn't need to be baptized. He came to John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, whoa, you're the one who should be baptizing me. And he said, wait, I want to do this to fulfill all righteousness. So when they went through the baptism, he came up, and let's look in 3:16. There's a lot of things about powerful verses in verse 16. In verse 16, it says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at this moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. The reason why Jesus was able to hold up to the temptation was because he knew he was loved by God. He knew that it was not conditional on what he did, but he was loved. And if he is loved, then in my relationship through Christ, God loves me. And therefore, you can leave here today recognizing that God is pleased and loves you. Yeah, there's some mess in your life he needs to clean up, but he loves you. And that's greater than any like you can get in this world. I need to please God by honoring him with every ounce of my life, deepening my love for him. In the next few months and weeks, we're going to give you plenty of opportunities. And then through this year, 2014 is a year of opportunities to grow deeper in Christ in all areas. Bow down before him. Take your life and let him be the leader of your life. Let him clean up the mess. And in all areas of your life, don't segment it. Don't leave here today and have a complete different transition. Go ahead and let that be your holy life. He has saved me, as the praise team comes forward. He has called me by saving me and called me to live a holy life. Amen? Okay, next week we're going to have another part of this series. It's going to be cool. You'll like it. So I plan ask you to come out next week, and we'll go ahead and connect. Yeah, I was working on it a little bit. But let's just stand for prayer. Lord God, we know it's tough out there when we leave the safety of this world and when we this room, and when we go out there, everything changes. But Lord, don't change what's in us. Help us to live, to recognize that we have a love and a like from you, and that, God, that just makes it for us. So whatever circumstances are facing us today, tomorrow, or the rest of this week, we know that you're there. And God, right now at this time, if we've never done the first part of that, if we've never said, you know what, I need a Savior. You're right. If we couldn't even comprehend raising our hand to say, he saved me, then God, the rest of life ain't going to be holy. And so right now, I just ask that if someone's heart is touched and really needs to come to know you, Lord, go ahead and call them out, that we'll go ahead and call them forward just to pray and throw a party in heaven, as it says, when one person repents of their sin and goes ahead and serves Christ. And for the rest of us, help us to serve that holy life. Be with us. Because as the song was said earlier, Lord, we are nothing without you. And we love you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. The altar's open if you need to pray.
Here's part of the church, you know, where we stop being spectators and start being a community. You know, this is the time we just, like, ask God to really speak to us. You know, it's easy to listen to Jack talk about God, but it's hard to listen to God himself and speak to us what he wants us to do with our lives and where he wants us to be today, Lord. Just lift that up today and just sing along, you know, and open your hearts and hear what he has to say for you.
For
attitude of worship right now. Clap your hands. Praise to you, Lord. It's a new day.
Have a safe, awesome week this week. Also, one of the things we forgot to add it to the prayer list is pray for Denise Pamontese and her family. Her cousin John Barbin passed away very suddenly, so we'll be lifting that family up in your prayers, along with everybody else that we have for prayer requests. Next week, we will talk about the title of the sermon is it's in the same series, Jesus Take the Wheel. So we're going to talk about, is God really in control? So we're going to talk about that next week. So have a great week. God bless. Love y'all. And by the way, 75 likes. There we go.